It's wonderful to be alive again on this very day, on the Lord's Day, to think of His faithfulness, as we have just sung, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And as I was noticing that I didn't tell Ian which song, he was working on another song, which he didn't know and had changed the song. And it was interesting that he had picked out Faithful Love, which is based on the same scripture that we're studying from, Lamentations 3. And verse 22 through 24, as we are wanting to sing with the Spirit and sing with the understanding also, we are studying in the words of the songs that we are singing, and this is a wonderful hymn to think about and to consider. Great is Thy Faithfulness, based on Lamentations 3, 22 through 24, and concerning the Thomas O. Chisholm, who had written this, lived from 1866 to 1960, so he lived a long period of time. And 1923 is the copyright on this song. The music by William M. Runyon lived from 1870 to 1957. Said concerning this man, Thomas O. Chisholm, he's on the left, by the way. He was born in a log cabin back in Franklin, Kentucky, and at 27, he became a Methodist, had preached for a year, and he worked the rest of his life as a life insurance agent. But he wrote nearly 1,200 poems throughout his life, and several hymns of his were published that are in our book. As we consider the words of the song concerning Great is Thy Faithfulness, we'll go ahead and turn to Lamentations 3, first of all. I'd point that out. Lamentations chapter 3. And, you know, as you look at the context of this, which is interesting, that you consider Jeremiah had given them many warnings to the people, and they refused to heed the warnings. And God means what He says. And here are the blessings if you obey. If you obey Me, I'm going to take care of you, take care of your enemies. If you disobey, you're going to suffer the consequences and you're going to go into captivity. And they were refusing to listen. And now they have suffered the consequences of their actions. So it's almost kind of, you think about, well, you know, this kind of doesn't fit with the context. And yet it does. When you think about Lamentations 3 and lamenting what they are suffering through. And of course, Jeremiah is sharing in Israel's affliction, even though obviously he didn't deserve it. And so he is lamenting in the beginning of this chapter the bitterness and the hardship and the suffering he is going through. We'll begin a few verses earlier than what we mentioned here. He said in verse 19, he said, "Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. Thus this I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope." And then verse 22 through 24. "The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in Him." That as you even think about considering in the suffering, they're going to be able to come back from that captivity. They're going to go into captivity for 70 years and then come back into the land once again, showing that God is faithful and merciful. And the first stanza, our author writes, "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be." And of course, you notice the King James Version kind of language that is in the song here. In Psalm chapter 89, David talks about the faithfulness of God. In Psalm 89, beginning in verse 1, the psalmist said by inspiration, he said, "I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known Your faithfulness with my mouth. For I have said loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens, you will establish your faithfulness. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David my servant. I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. The heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness, also in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies is comparable to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like the Lord? A God greatly feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all those who are around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is like you, O mighty Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the swelling of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You yourself crushed Rahab like one who is slain. You scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all it contains. You have founded them, the north and the south. You have created them. Tabor and Hermon shout for joy at your name. You have a strong arm. Your hand is mighty. Your right hand is exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. The praising of God and singing, to be able to sing these great hymns of praise and what it means. And not just going through the motions, but truly great is your faithfulness. O God, my Father, the exclamation of the psalmist and many of the psalms that are written. Going down, I mean, passages later to verse 24, the same chapter. My faithfulness and my loving kindness will be with him and in my name his horn will be exalted. Of course, talking about David, my servant. What you think about the messianic prophecies concerning the Christ and concerning Jesus sitting on David's throne in heaven in the new covenant, sitting at the right hand of God. As you go down to verse 33, he said, I will not break off my loving kindness from him, as he talks about the punishment they're going through, nor deal falsely my faithfulness. My covenant I will not violate, nor will I alter the utterance of my lips. Aren't we thankful that we can count on the faithfulness of God? We can trust in every single word that he has spoken. As we talked about this morning, arguments for the evidence that there is a creator. As you think about the power of his word, and we think about his faithfulness. Hesed, from the Hebrew there. His loving kindness or his faithfulness to all generations. In verse 49. Where are your former loving kindnesses, O Lord, which you swore to David in your faithfulness? Remember, O Lord, the reproach of your servants, how I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the many peoples with which your enemies have reproached, O Lord, with which they have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Great is thy faithfulness. We look at James 1, verse 17, which is where this line comes from, this passage in James chapter 1 and verse 17, where the scripture says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. The old King James would say, no shadow of turning. So we know that the author was thinking about this this passage. When you think about the shadows changing throughout the day, according to the position of the sun, you think about the shore being short in the midday and it lengthening in the nightfall. But God doesn't change. As you think about concerning the shadow of turning, he himself is the absolute reference point that we can depend upon. As you think about the revolutions of the, as you think about concerning day by day and year by year, the Lord is immutable. He possesses all power and life is in himself. He doesn't change with the time. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. Thy compassions, they fail not is from that Lamentations 3 in that passage in verse 22. But also in Malachi 3 where this phrase is used. Thou changest not. In Malachi chapter 3, he said in Malachi chapter 3, good to hear those pages turning. He said in verse 5, I will draw near to you for judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against those who swear false and against those who oppress the wage earner in his wages, the widow and the orphan, that those who turn aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? And so the Lord, as far as keeping his promises, you might say, well, this wasn't very, very comforting. But the whole thing is that as you are being wicked and you're continuing in your sins and you're rejecting the Lord, I, the Lord, do not change. Return to me, and I will return to you. Thy compassion, they fail not if you turn again back to God. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. We notice as you look upon God sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for the sins of the world, that as we notice concerning Christ is eternal. Before the world began, he is with God in the beginning. As we studied recently in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Christ is eternal, and we see that Christ is born of a virgin, fulfillment of prophecy. He lived a perfect life. He was a sacrifice for the sins of the world. He went back to heaven after his resurrection and is sitting at the right hand of God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Great is thy faithfulness as you look upon the intercessory position that the Lord is in, as we think about that we can go boldly to the throne of grace as our great high priest, Jesus. Through him, we can come to the Father for grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. Yes, great is thy faithfulness. We look at second stanza, summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. You mentioned the passage this morning, Genesis 8, the faithfulness of God in the seasons. As you look at God's creation in Genesis 8, verse 22, after the flood destroyed the earth, he said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And so as we look upon creation, and great is thy faithfulness even until this very day, in Psalm 148, many songs as we think about this, this Psalm 148, in Psalm 148, beginning in verse 1, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens and the water that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which will not pass away. So let them praises give Jehovah, as sometimes we sing that song. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. Sun and moon and stars and their courses above, as we talked about that this morning, that it joins with all nature and manifold witnesses to his great faithfulness, mercy, and love, even to the wicked. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gives an example on why we ought to love our enemies, even though they don't deserve it. As you recognize concerning the enemies of Jesus, they had him crucified, and yet he was willing to say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing, and give them the opportunity to obey the gospel 50 days later. And about 3,000 were saved. In Matthew chapter 5, in the context of loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you, he says in verse 45, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. You look upon the great faithfulness, mercy, and love to all people. In Acts chapter 14, we mentioned the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 14, in verse 16, he said, in the generations gone by, he had permitted all the nations to go their own ways. Free moral agents, they could make choices to do that. Verse 17, yet he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Yes, great is thy faithfulness as you look upon creation and everything concerning in creation that gives glory and honor and praise to God. And want to be thankful for his faithfulness, mercy, and love. We were blessed with some good rain yesterday. We ought to be thankful for that in every day of our life. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright home for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. We ought to be so thankful for the mercy of the Lord, for pardon for sin. In Micah chapter 7, Micah says by inspiration, who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in unchanging love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and unchanging love to Abraham, which you swore to our forefathers from the days of old. Pardoning iniquity, delighting in unchanging love. In Ephesians chapter 2, so we're under the new covenant. He mentioned concerning the Gentiles. Obviously, these are Christians now that he is writing to. And he wanted them to remember at the past, where they were before Christ. He said, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is what? He himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Great is thy faithfulness because of the pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, all the fulfillment of the prophecies in Christ Jesus, so that we can be reconciled in one body to God through the cross. Through the violent death, God can bring about peace, the forgiveness of sins. No longer being enemies, but now being reconciled in Christ. When we look all around about us, then we don't see the peace that is that in the world, and people desiring world peace. And we recognize, as long as the devil is working out there, there isn't going to be that world peace. But in Christ, In Christ, there is that peace. And those who are in Christ, those who are faithful in Christ, can be reconciled. Those who had hated each other before can be reconciled. No matter what background, no matter what race, no matter how rich or poor, male or female, can be all one in Christ Jesus. Wonderful thing about concerning Christ, as we go teach all nations, the apostles were told to go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And the encouragement of them is, he said, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Which, when you think about the persecution and suffering that they were going through, they needed that encouragement. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, talks about the quotation, he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We have the presence of Christ. If we think about the scriptures guiding us to whereby in the world you have tribulation, but in me you have peace. So be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We can be encouraged. We can be strengthened. We can have courage to face as we are guided by the scriptures, guided by the Word of God in our everyday lives because of the faithfulness of God. He's going to keep His promises. Think about the strength that we need each day to overcome the devil. In the 1 Peter chapter 5, as the Apostle Peter is writing to brethren enduring through persecution, we're studying, just beginning to study 1 Peter on Wednesday nights. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the Apostle Peter says in verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. We're all enduring. You're a faithful Christian. You are enduring through persecution. And you recognize the more faithful you are to the Lord, that the devil is going to try to get you back into his kingdom, back you under his clutches. But we can overcome him by doing what? By resisting him, by being firm in your faith. Other brethren are suffering through that experience too, but it's not going to last very long. He said in verse 10, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness, that we can be strengthened to be able to endure through suffering. Strength for today, because it's all we have. All we have is today. And the devil is tempting us every day of our lives. We need that strength for today. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to depend upon the Lord every day. And we can, because great is thy faithfulness. We can have hope for tomorrow. Think about in this passage concerning eternal life here. Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, here's how we are to be strong. In Ephesians 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the strength of whose might? And the strength of his might, because great is thy faithfulness. Because on our own, we are generally unfaithful, right? Jeremiah said a long time ago, Jeremiah 10 verse 23, I know, O Lord, that is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We recognize concerning Jeremiah and the prophets, they had to depend upon the Lord and be strong in him, the strength of his might, as we are following Christ. He said in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God so that we'd be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore. Stand firm, stand firm. How are we going to be able to stand firm? By being strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. By putting on the whole armor of God. And this is how we can have that hope for tomorrow, as we're trusting and being obedient to His will and not our own will in our own lives. In Romans chapter 8, didn't have this passage up there. Romans chapter 8, verse 24, and talking about hope. Said, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. We know that the Lord is going to return. Great is thy faithfulness, he's going to return. As they watched him go into heaven after his resurrection, promised that he's going to come back in the same way. We meet the Lord in the clouds and thus always be with the Lord. It's 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 18. He said, therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's our bright hope for tomorrow. Not in this world. For in this world we have tribulation. And as the author's last line, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. You know, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Ephesians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul, as he writes to the brethren at Ephesus, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. All the spiritual blessings in Christ. Maybe we don't have the blessings of a lot of money, but obviously we are tremendously blessed above all measure. Now, just think back concerning all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ in chapter 2 and verse 7. As he mentioned concerning that you are dead in sin and now you're alive in Christ and raised up with him, and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, verse 7, he might show what? The surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know, as parents, you know, think about concerning that we delight to see in our children, concerning them opening up their presence and the joy that is in there. We recognize it's a temporary joy, but the whole thing is that here we want to bless them in a way as far as sharing with them and to see them enjoying that. And you think about our Heavenly Father. The surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You ever think and you meditate upon that? And what Christ is willing to do to make it possible? And great is thy faithfulness even till this very day. As Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall never pass away. In Proverbs 28 and verse 20, and Solomon says by inspiration in this passage, in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20, Solomon says by inspiration, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. A faithful man will abound with blessings. And truly, when you think about, if you don't have anything else in this world, but you're a faithful Christian, you are richer than the richest person in this world, because they're going to have to give it all up in the end. Don't ever be jealous or envious of them. 10,000 blessings on mine with 10,000 beside. That's how each and every one of us should consider the blessings as we think about the chorus crescendos. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Is that the way you look upon life? So I think more and more about each day of life and to be able to go out in the mornings. I know everybody may not be a morning person, but I just love to see the sunrise in the morning. What a beautiful thing it is to be able to see. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And to be able to pray to our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. And to be thankful for all the many blessings of life, both physical and spiritual. And to have more and more appreciation. It's interesting as you grow older, more and more as you get closer and closer to eternity. Unfortunately, when you're young, it's sort of maybe sometimes you don't appreciate all the many blessings that we enjoy, being able to live in a free country where we can worship God in spirit and in truth without fear of men. To be able to read and study the Bible, to be able to sing songs of praise to His name, to preach the gospel openly. And I recognize there's some difficulties as you're talking with others and the insults and persecution and things like that, but not openly to whereby, hey, we can't worship anymore. So I think about those who were POWs and the one story that we know of concerning POW and giving them the Bible, and here they're memorizing the Bible so that they might have it in their minds once a year, I think it was, or something like that. And how precious the Word of God was them, because here we're reminded of God's faithfulness. In 2 Peter 1, the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1. Going back to verse 2, he said, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." Yes, without His precious and magnificent promises, we would be without hope and without God in this world. As we mentioned that passage in Ephesians 2 and verse 12. We say that, "All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Can we say that? Can we say that we have escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust? Our sins separate us from God. The only way that we're going to be able to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus Christ loves you and died for you. Great is His faithfulness, even unto this very time that we are alive this very day. And He doesn't want anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. To change your will for God's will. The lesson is yours as you think about concerning the preparation for eternity. Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Because after death comes a judgment. You won't be judged by the deeds done in the body. If you look and you examine your life, if you're honest, you have to realize we have all sinned in one way or another. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as you think about concerning the mercy of the Lord, to whereby we obey the gospel, that we can have every sin forgiven. Under the Old Testament, under the law of Moses, those sins were rolled forward year after year to be reminded of year after year. In Christ, once they're forgiven, they're forgotten. We have a clean slate. We can have a good conscience to serve the Lord. And every day, as we recognize great is Thy faithfulness, that we are practicing righteousness, we are being a light in this dark world of sin and being the salt of the earth. We want souls to be saved. We want to encourage the faithful. We want to do good works. That's what we want to be zealous for, to be pleasing to the Lord in all that we think and say and do and believe and teach and practice in our lives. And being faithful in the death that we can go to heaven when we die. But all begins as we think about concerning Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. And we recognize concerning how we are going to be able to bury that old person of sin is in baptism. In Romans chapter 6, we're baptized into his death. In Romans 6 and verse 3 and 4. And that like as Christ is raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we might walk in newness of life. And so as you think about concerning your lives, you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The miracles, wonders, and signs confirm that he is. Be willing to repent of your sins. All people everywhere have been commanded to repent. Acts 17, verse 30 and 31. To change your will for God's will. Confess Jesus Christ is the Son of God before this audience tonight. And be buried with Christ in baptism. It means being immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. For Jesus said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you will not enter the kingdom of God. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, if you need to be baptized for the remission of sins, or you need to be restored, great is thy faithfulness, even until this very time. The devil doesn't want you to obey the Lord. He can't prevent you from making the choice and the decision. Don't harden your heart against the Lord. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, God calls. We encourage you to come. Right now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.